Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Attorney Steve Boyd is joining us in studio for an extensive segment this morning. It's a new day in the Buffalo Diocese, Steve, and you're kind of helping us understand what is going on with this kind of changing of the guard from a survivor's standpoint. How do you put into words what happened yesterday?
I think it is... It is a first step, but from what we saw from Bishop Scharfenberger yesterday, it's a very big first step because I watched that news conference yesterday, and my impression, first of all, he's 5 hours on the job when he starts the news conference, and I saw a humble man. I saw a man who was speaking from the heart. I didn't hear spin doctoring. And so we've heard the right message. What has to come now in the coming months are the right actions.
It helps to set that tone, though, right off the bat.
Absolutely. You know, when people are abused as kids, they have nowhere to turn. Some tell people and their parents don't believe them. Some can't bring themselves to find the words. We're talking about second and third graders in some cases. So they have no voice. And in the last 2 years, the Child Victims Act, through the IRCP, and through other developments, they have been regaining their voice. But in many cases, they're still being told that they're not believed. They're skeptical views of what happened to them when they were really children and babies. So now you have somebody who comes in, and he spoke about the survivors so eloquently yesterday. And to me, it seemed like this. The old policy was, if you come to us with this complaint, we're going to protect our priest and push you away. Bishop Scharfenberger said, if you come to us, we're going to wrap our arms around you first, and then we'll go through our process. And that's a sea change.
What did you hear yesterday from the survivors that you're working with? What were their reactions?
First step, he seemed like he's just what I said. You know, what I'm telling you today is the conversations, because I spent all day with my clients. A number of my clients were here. One came into town for this. So, yeah, that's really the message. And I have an array of clients. So I have people who are still devout Catholic. I have people who are sort of Christian and Easter Catholic. I have people who don't go to church anymore, call themselves Catholic, people who are another Christian faiths, and some people who don't believe in God anymore. So I have an array. It's tough to speak for all of them. But very clearly, the lies, the manipulation, the standoffishness, the verbal apology, but with nothing really done about it, that era that Bishop Malone led us through caused more pain and suffering to these survivors. And I think there's some hope today that maybe that part of this will change.
We're going to focus, Steve, on moving forward, but I've got to ask you what you thought of Bishop Malone's exit yesterday and maintaining until the end that he was retiring.
You know, that Hamilton song, When Washington Leaves One More Time, I was thinking, one more lie. He didn't retire. He resigned. He didn't resign by choice. Sometimes when I'm in court, we look at the evidence. I tell the jury, look at the evidence you saw and look at the evidence they failed to bring. Okay? So what did we not see yesterday? When that terse statement came out from the Vatican, it did not say, it is with gratitude and, you know, blah, 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 that the priest of X number of years was born in this place. No, it just said, Pope has accepted the resignation of Bishop Malone. It's very terse. To me, that suggests that the Vatican is aware of what's happening in Buffalo, that they heard those tapes, that they were probably infuriated, and that great meeting where Bishop Malone said things went so well probably didn't go so well. Mm-hmm. Remember, just 2 weeks ago, he said nothing is imminent. And then we hear yesterday that 2 weeks ago, he retired, or he offered his retirement, whatever he, however he's putting it. You know, here's the thing. There are 10 commandments. One of them has to do about telling the truth. 10, not 9. And the truth is such a moving object for the Malone administration. But I do think that we're entering a hopeful stage. I'm looking at a tweet from the Diocese of Buffalo yesterday. If you are a survivor, call our hotline and speak to Jackie Joy, who's the one who coordinates counseling. And then a few minutes later, the diocese says, we're currently having a problem with our phone line. Here's a different line to call. Wow, the Diocese of Buffalo saying we've made a mistake, we've had a problem. Please, if you need access to us, here's another way to access us. That's a new day for this diocese. That is not the story of the Malone administration. I think Bishop Scharfenberger and his people are really starting out on the right foot. But what we need now is the transparency that everyone has asked for. And that's going to include releasing all the names of all the credibly accused priests. It's going to mean all the secret files that we know exist should be released and handed over during this litigation process. It's going to mean a lot of steps if they want real transparency. And that's why part of me remains a little skeptical of just how they will handle things.
Mm-hmm. It's a trust that they're going to have to rebuild with a lot of people. You mentioned whether it was the way the exit kind of played out and the differing statements from Malone and from the Vatican, and whether it's a resignation or a retirement, and there was a difference there. Whether it was Malone saying just a week ago that the reports were absolutely false, that I tendered my resignation to Pope Francis, where, you know, this comes out now a week later. He sounded, you know, to strike a different tone yesterday, Scharfenberger, that is, but it's going to take a lot of action to maybe change people's minds on that.
I think you're right, and you use that term, build trust. Trust can't be given, right? It has to be built. And so I think, especially for our clients, our survivors, they really have trust problems in their lives and certainly with the church. But I do think that in this community, most Catholics and even non-Catholics want the Catholic Church to succeed because of the good works that they've done throughout the decades and throughout our lives. I'm Catholic. I was an altar boy. I remember I talked to a friend of mine who was abused, and we talked about when we were little how excited we were to be young Catholics. It would be great if the church can generate that kind of excitement again. It's not Vatican II, as we were just post-Vatican II when I was in school, but the church needs to build that, and they need to take the right steps, and they need to do it with openness and honesty.
Edward Scharfenberger, Bishop of Albany, the new apostolic administrator, at least temporarily here in the Diocese of Buffalo.
I am here for you. I'm here to listen to you. I'm here to walk with you, and I'm here to help you heal. I would prefer to convey that message by what I do and not just by what I say.
Joining us in studio this morning, Steve Boyd, attorney who's working with, actually, I think I can say dozens of survivors, if not more than that, right?
100 lawsuits filed against the diocese in the Diocese of Buffalo, another 100 that are being prepared, and approximately 100 in Rochester.
Steve, the words of Edward Scharfenberger yesterday, you mentioned, if someone just joining us now, how humble he was, how he spoke from the heart. What did you take from that?
He was a priest. He was a priest. We wanted a priest in that position for a long time. And he when he didn't know the answer, he would say, I don't know the answer. I don't know yet. And I just think he was human and real. And it struck me that there was this moment before the news conference that was probably more important to the reporters than to the public, but the diocese released a statement that to the press that there would be one reporter from each station and only one question each, and that clearly came from the old Buffalo Diocese PR department. And then the Albany PR person said, no, everyone is welcome, all caps, everyone. And so it seems to me that the diocese has been under this shadow, and Bishop Scharfenberger and his staff are bringing light to the situation, and that is so needed.
One of the things that he said yesterday that stood out to me, and we've played it a couple times this morning, was when he was asked, you know, what would you say to somebody who came to you and said they were a victim of abuse, you know, in the recent or previous past. And the first thing he said was, go contact the
police.
And that's kind of the maybe common sense thing that most people, you know, throughout the area would say that's what you should do. But nothing that we've never really heard that from the Diocese of Buffalo before.
No, and it really is as simple as that, right? We don't need another encyclical or whatever they call their meetings and their writings. We don't need a conference. Just call the police. You know, sometimes in this arena, I think a lot of folks look at our clients and say, well, you didn't tell anybody, or why should I believe you? One of the things that I do when I meet with a new client is when they leave, I look at a picture of my kids at that age. Because if you looked at me like this old gray-haired guy, I'm just an old gray-haired guy. But if you looked at a picture of me when I was an altar boy in seventh grade, you'd see a different picture. You'd see a different person. And then when you think about the vulnerabilities that a child has and a predator takes advantage of that, in multiple occasions, right? Like over 100 priests in Western New York, it's awful. And these people are going through so much and their lives have been broken. They didn't live the path that they could have lived. And so they deserve honesty. They deserve justice. They deserve, imagine if somebody was abused in 1970 and then the very next day somebody called the cops. Maybe that person would have lived a different life.
Joining us live in studio is attorney Steve Boyd, who works with many survivors of abuse. And you know, Steve, I'm wondering if you were in contact with a lot of the people you represent yesterday, if they were maybe contacting you about this change and what it could mean for them moving forward, what it could mean for either their claim or just, you know, their relationship with the church.
Well, in terms of the claim, we know that the coming fight in the litigation was going to be over the secret files. And so we've had a promise now from Bishop Scharfenberger that there would be transparency. The transparency will include releasing the names of all the predators and releasing those secret files at some level, either publicly or in the litigation, more likely in the litigation. So there's hope that we could make some progress there. In terms of the credibility of the church itself and how they feel about that, I think there's pause. Some skepticism, there's some hope, there's some belief that this could be a new day for the church. I don't know that the clients of mine that have left the church would come back, but I know they weren't open to that at all the day before yesterday. And the message yesterday from Bishop Scharfenberger was very hopeful.
What kind of a timeline are you looking at when you're talking about these things that, you know, the files and litigation? Is this all happening in the next several months while Scharfenberger is still here?
It's continuing, yes. And we have conferences with Justice Chimes, who is in charge of all of the Child Victims Act cases in Western New York. She sees lawyers on cases every Monday afternoon. So the cases are beginning to move forward. One of the things that passed inside the Child Victims Act is something that's called a trial preference. Usually a trial preference is for somebody who's elderly, and you make a motion to say my client is elderly and they should have a trial preference, which means this case should move quickly. This Child Victims Act has a trial preference for all of the cases. So it's my understanding that the judicial administration in Albany wants these cases to move and does not want them to linger. And I think, frankly, that you know, we're working closely with our opponents on the other side. I think the hope on the other side is that we will move through this so they can get back on with their mission.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.